I'm going to begin. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame.
This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing.
The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and save those who are crushed in spirit.
Evil will slay the wicked, and foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. What is prayer? What is prayer? There are different definitions for prayer. I read one that I thought sounded beautiful. It said, prayer is the highest exercise of the soul. And it added that prayer is communion and fellowship with God. We often think of prayer as talking to God. We have Ellen White, who in the beautiful book Steps to Christ used a metaphor and said, prayer is the key in the hand of faith that unlocks heaven's storehouse where are stored the boundless resources of omnipotence. I listened to a sermon on prayer in which the minister pointed out that he said, prayer is more than talking to God, it is conveying a message to God. And the reason he mentioned that, and you can put Romans 8:26 up on the screen for just a moment, is that it says that the Holy Spirit prays for us, but not specifically with words. Romans 8:26, it says that the Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Do you see that at the end of the verse there? He himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So prayer is actually more than just words. It includes words, but there are times when all you can do is groan. Ever experienced that? Or all you can do is sigh, or all you can do is just feel whatever it is that you're feeling. And did you know that God hears that? Just like he hears prayer in words. So whether it's words or whether it's groans or whatever it is, we can convey a message to God in prayer. One of the best examples in the Bible of prayer and what prayer is intended to be is in the book of Daniel, chapter 6 and verse 10. We want Daniel 6, verse 10 to go up on the screen. You remember Daniel faced a crisis. What was the crisis? Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what was the writing? That no one was allowed to pray to any god except for the king for 30 days. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And let's read together the last few words of this verse. As was his custom since early days. And that's the important part of the verse that I want us to remember as we think about a biblical example of prayer. Was this a prayer in a crisis? Yes, it was. But the text shows that Daniel did not pray only in a crisis. He had a custom of prayer. or as the King James says, as he did aforetime. Before this, he prayed three times a day, every day. It was a habit. It was a relationship with God that Daniel had. And that's what prayer is for. That's the important thing about prayer, but having regularity in prayer is a really important thing. I heard about a certain Adventist church that was located here in the Northwest, and there was a factory in the town where the church was, and there were a number of church members that worked at the factory, and there were, you know, there was good attendance at the church. Well, it happened that the factory shut down, and all the people that worked there had to move away and go to other places, and there was one lady left. And I don't know all the details of the story of what happened with the church building, if it was sold or what, but this lady had access to the church, and for 12 years, every Sabbath, she went by herself to the church to pray and to read over her Sabbath school lesson. Now talk about regularity in prayer in the church. For 12 years, she did that till she died. That was in a little book called The History of Adventism in the Northwest by Doug Johnson, who was a pastor here in the Northwest for many years. Daniel had regularity in prayer. He did pray in a crisis, but how well would he know God if the only time he prayed was when there was a crisis? How well would you know another person if the only time you spoke to that person is when you are in a crisis? You would know them a little bit, and you probably would know them as someone who helps, or you wouldn't keep going back to them. But you wouldn't know them the same way as if you shared at other times what was happening in your life, good times and bad and so on. So prayer is to be a habit. It's to be a lifestyle. Someone might think, well, I'm not Daniel. I don't pray three times a day. I don't have a custom. Would God hear my prayers? And we talk about, you know, sometimes how people only go to God in a crisis. But I serve a great God who loves people whether they pray regularly or not. He likes to hear your prayer. If the only time you come to him is in a crisis, he still likes to hear you. And he will answer your prayer. And that's revealed in Psalm 107, verses 4 to 6. Now, this is a group of people. I don't know that they had a habit of prayer. This is the Israelites going out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. And verse 5, continuing, that I... 107, verse 5. There we go. Hungry and thirsty. Is it a crisis? Their soul fainted in them. And verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And let's read the last part. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Thank God. There are many verses like this. We don't have time to read them all today. But lots of verses like this where it says people cried out to God in their distress. They may not have had a habit of prayer, but God still wanted to answer them. And if you are in a crisis, it's time to pray. And if you want to have a stronger walk with God, it's time to learn to pray like Daniel, who prayed as a custom regularly and consistently, and we will learn to know God, and God will become more real to us as we engage in prayer. Now, is prayer a duty? Some people view prayer as a duty that God requires of them to do because they think that God needs to be maybe reminded of certain things so that he won't forget to do certain things. And as long as they put in, you know, 50 cents of prayer every so often as a kind of perfunctory dutiful action, that that's the whole purpose of prayer and that's all there is to it. Now, it is true that prayer is a duty, but it's more than a duty. Now, I want to look with you at a verse that talks about prayer as a duty in Luke 18 and verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So that there's some duty there, isn't there? We ought to pray. However, if the only reason we do it is because we feel like we have to, or we do it as a duty, only in that sort of superficial sense, it's not fulfilling its purpose. Now, how this works with a relationship, we can compare it to marriage. Look at Ephesians 5:28. This one has the same word. So husbands ought to love their wives, their own wives, as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, is it a duty for a husband to love his wife? It says here the same word as it said about prayer. But I don't think it's going to do too well if I buy a gift for my wife and she says, what a nice gift this is. How thoughtful of you. Well, I would say it's my duty. I'm supposed to do it. There's a piece of paper that's a marriage license, and I'm supposed to do it. And that's the only reason why I do it. How's that going to go over? Not very good. There's a certain sense of duty, but it's more than duty. There's something about love. There's something about relationship. And in marriage or in prayer, in relationship with God, we want to pray, and I want to pray, not because I have to, but because I want to. And I want to know God, not because I have to, but because I want to. I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus, not because I have to, but because I want to. One of my favorite quotes about that, in the light of the Master's presence, all desire dies, but the desire to be like Him. And so, we're coming, living every day, looking forward to Jesus' soon return, and we want the church to be like Christ. And we have, we talk about how we got to give the gospel to all the world, and a bunch of mean, selfish people are not going to be very successful preaching the gospel to all the world. We want to be transformed into the image of Jesus and reveal the glory of God in our lives, not because we have to, but because we want to. And that makes all the difference. We do need to, and the world needs to see Jesus in us and through us. But as we pray, that can happen. A wonderful transformation can happen through the grace of God in prayer. Sometimes we go to God, we think we're telling God what He needs to know, so what He can do, so He can change things for us. But God knows that what we really need is to go to Him so that He can change something in us, so that we can be changed. God doesn't need to be changed, but we can be changed. And whether God says no in answer to our prayer, and I think He says no with a comma. I don't think He says no, period. I think He says no. If He says no, He says no with a comma, because there's an explanation that's coming. We may not hear it right away, but it will come to us. Or He may say, yes, I'm going to give you this answer to prayer. I have had dramatic answers to prayer almost immediately in my life. Or He may say, wait, this is something that will be good for you, but another time. Whatever He says to us, let us trust that He knows what is best and that He is going to work things out. One of my favorite quotations about prayer says, every morning, give yourself to God and devote some time to prayer, because this is time that will live through eternal ages. Prayer, the time that you spend in prayer, is time that will live through eternal ages. Now, the statement doesn't explain what that means, but I believe that there's something very special about that. I think even in this world, we look back on how the Lord led us through at different times, and, and how prayer helped, you know, and that time lives in our minds. And so let us remember that as we continue. Our 10 days of prayer is ending, but our week of prayer is soon going to be beginning. And then when the week of prayer ends, we've got a year ahead of us, and what a great way to start the year. For prayer, for the ministries of our church, and we're going to be having some special prayers in a few minutes, but prayers for our Sabbath school ministry, prayers for other ministries of the church, signs, radio, religious liberty, soup kitchen, women's ministry, and various other ministries of the church. As I thought about the different ministries of the church, I was very happy to know that we have some strong, good ministries here in our Brookings Church. And there may be other new ministries that the Lord will bring to us. Every ministry needs a leader. Remember, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. Pray for workers for the harvest. So let's pray for new leaders and new ministries that we can do. But before we go into our prayer time, we do have one testimony. And Jamie, we have a testimony that Jamie said she would like to share. You can just stay right there. We'll just give you the microphone right here. And please share with us.
Well, I will stand because my feelings and thoughts will be too big for sitting. I would like to say that the 10 days of prayer, as last year, really brought a lot of heartfelt emotion into my feelings for my Almighty God, who loves me so much. Prayer is a gift here on earth, a spiritual gift that we can never take for granted. The thing is that I had the same feeling as Evelyn noted, that my communication with my maker seemed to be waning. I needed that communication touch, and to have that communication and feeling just hit me harder and have that blessing. And the learning and the education and the thoughts about prayer and having it in my mind and heart again through these past 10 days and causing me to feel closer through the gift of prayer. It was such a blessing. It was a blessing beyond words. And to have it also on YouTube and see that around the world, it happens around the world, which makes me feel part of a spiritual thing that happens around the world. And also, in our notations that were printed out for us, to see all the many things, the list of things that we need to pray for that were printed for us and that we need to continue to pray for, not just this past 10 days, but that we need to continually, humbly pray for and keep on our prayer lists, like the needy in our community, the schools, the teachers, the, just our radio station, just everything that were on our lists each and every day of the past 10 days. The specialness that we could have as groups and praying in groups of two or three or four, or just by ourselves at home. It was a blessing, and it brought a connection back to me where I felt that my spiritual prayer on a personal level was waning, but it reminded me that I needed to have, well, it just was a blessing and brought me back closer to my Creator. And praise to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We have several individuals that have agreed to pray today, and I'm going to give the mic here to Dale. Okay. Bob has agreed to lead us in prayer for our Sabbath school ministry, and Maggie has agreed to have a prayer for our signs and radio ministry. Mary will have a prayer for our religious liberty ministry and other ministries, and Evelyn for our soup kitchen and women's ministry, and SureNet for our general needs. So during this time of prayer, these will just be short prayers that each will have. Those that are comfortable to kneel are welcome. Those who would prefer to remain seated can remain seated for these next few minutes as we pray. But let us go to prayer at this time, and we'll let Bob start us off.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this church, for the people in this church, for the friendships that we've developed, the kindnesses and compassion and care that this church family has exhibited. And we know, Father, that this is a gift from you, that nothing is a coincidence here, and that you have ordained each one of us to serve not only one another, but more importantly, you. We understand through Solomon, Father, that reverence for you is the beginning of knowledge. And in seeking knowledge, Father, we thank you for our Sabbath school teachers and our Sabbath school classes, those who have desired to know you and to explain what we understand from the scriptures through your Holy Spirit. Father, we just continue to humble ourselves and give you the glory that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, and we trust in you this moment to continue that journey, to continue our relationship with you, and we'll give you the praise throughout eternity for this gift in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, it was many years ago that Glenn in our church discovered the abandoned signs box and asked someone in the church to help maintain it so that it would be filled with information for other people. I didn't expect to continue that many this much time, but it's been a privilege to do this silent ministry to people who can come and pick up something that is heartwarming to them, many times will solve a problem for them, and will bring them closer to the Lord. Even people who are just tourists, people who are just random, picking these magazines up. I'm grateful for the people who have donated to the church that goes into the budget, goes into their special offerings for the signs that will maintain them. And the radio work, another silent ministry, with Ron helping and Ron maintaining our radio. We've had a wonderful radio, keeping it going through storm, through wind, through whatever troubles have happened to our radio. We thank you that we have this time to present to the public the ministries from Pastor Kimbrough, the sermons that he gives, and again, reaching people who cannot come to our church or would not come. When they turn their radio, they find a nice station to listen to. These are such wonderful things that we can extend to our neighbors and our friends without pressure, but yet loving guidance from you. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we are so very, very thankful for the gifts that you give us, for the privileges and how you provide. And Lord, we thank you for religious liberty, that gift where we can worship you in spirit and in truth, and we are not persecuted as in some other countries. Lord, I pray that we will value this gift, that we will use it to the furthest extent that we can, that we, like Bob has said in our Sabbath school class and in other people have said, that we will reach out to our family, our neighbors, our friends, our community, using this gift of religious liberty. Thank you for the magazine of our denomination, that of our church, that tells about religious liberty and what is happening in the religious liberty arena, the politics, and in other areas. We pray, Lord, that we too will support this magazine, that we will provide it to our community, to our leaders. And thank you, Lord, for the leadership that we have in religious liberty and within our own church. Lord, our Brookings Church, thank you that we have this ministry here. I pray that you will bless 2020 with a renewed interest and a renewed vigor in our religious liberty and how we use it. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us in every aspect of our lives, here in the congregation and individually. Right now, we'd like to thank you for giving us a chance to have a prayer ministry group led by Shernette. We thank you for the chance that we can specifically meet to pray for specific things and to also help to put programs together and to put programs together that include people that will come and speak, specific, enjoyable programs that give us spiritual guidance beyond our regular guidance here in our own church locally. But we enjoy these programs and we enjoy our speakers and our special times and music. And also thank you for giving us our chance to meet and pray in our small groups. I thank you for our prayer ministry group as I'm a part of it. And it reminds me once again what a blessing prayer is, what a gift, and that we need to constantly, as the hymn said, ponder what the Almighty God can do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Father in heaven, we come to you today with a couple ministries. We have a women's ministry, Lord, that we are asking blessings for. You have used women in very mighty ways, and we ask that you strengthen them and put a fire in their belly to continue the work to bring in the souls that they can minister to. We also ask, dear God, that you bless the soup kitchen, dear God, to bring in the people who are not only hungry, but they're spiritually looking for something more meaningful in life. Let their bellies not only be full of food, but let their hearts be full of the Holy Spirit, so that you may speak to them and fill their need and fill their emptiness so that they can come to a relationship with you and know that there is a future and a hope and a blessing by having you in their lives. We are already thanking you in advance for all the ministries that you have, that you are going to put a mighty force within us to do a mighty work, because we know you are coming near. And we are just claiming that promise, dear Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given us the privilege to minister. Lord, we pray that we will look to you, who is our leader, our shepherd, And Lord, we have many needs as a church. As our faces differ, so do our needs differ. And you know all about them because you are our Father. And I just want to present more than anything else, Lord, our spiritual needs to you. I pray that you will give us the Holy Spirit. I pray that your love will radiate from our hearts, God. I also want to pray for the children, for the youth, and for all the other ministries that we maybe didn't mention. And Lord, I pray that we look forward to that day when you will come to redeem your own. May we all look forward to meeting you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
And all the people said, Amen. We'd like to invite our choristers to come up for our closing hymn as we conclude our service.
Please stand. Our closing hymn is number 330, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing.
Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Amen.